This is Day to Day. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Alex Cohen. Coming up, the recession has hit nearly every sector of the economy, even some considered recession-proof. Why Larry Flynt of Hustler fame is asking for a federal bailout, that story in just a few moments.
But first, investigations continue into the shooting death of 22-year-old Oscar Grant III in Oakland, California. Grant, African-American, lay unarmed on a Bay Area rapid transit platform when he was shot in the back by a BART worker on New Year's Day.
Last night, riots erupted near the BART station where Grant was killed. Protesters set fire to cars and smashed the windows of several nearby businesses. Riot police were called in to calm the crowds.
Oakland has one of the highest murder rates in the country. Reporter Judy Campbell from member station KQED in San Francisco has this report on an organization that helps heal families and neighbors traumatized by violence in the community.
Last year, Patricia Johnson had a terrible shock. Shortly after her granddaughter Jessica turned 19, the young woman was savagely beaten and tossed into the woods. Jessica was found and brought to the hospital, but she died a few days later.
She died on the 4th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I think it was maybe 4:35 o'clock. I had a phone call.
The call was from a volunteer with the Crisis Response Support Network.
They wanted to know what we needed. Did I need food? Did I need someone to come out and sit with me? Did I need to go anywhere? They just jumped in like back in the day when people stepped up to help you.
The Crisis Network started last year as a pilot project as part of Catholic Charities funded with money from a local violence prevention measure. Millie Burns, who runs the program, says she wants to restore the role of the community in responding to violence.
When a family suffers death by homicide, not only do they have these just extraordinary and unanticipated expenses, they also often aren't given the type of compassion and sympathetic response from friends and neighbors and even other family members.
Within an hour of a murder, a crisis center volunteer, contacted by police, will arrive at the home of the murder victim. They're there to offer financial, practical, emotional help, and to scout out the scene, to see how far the trauma has spread. Were kids present, neighbors? Burns says they're particularly keeping an eye out on the young, who often are already traumatized by violence.
This is not the first exposure they've had to violence. This is not the first friend they've lost. This is the third, the fifth, the tenth. And we understand what happens when a young person is repeatedly traumatized. We begin to understand a lot of the problems we're seeing,
including acting out, troubles in school, violent, angry reactions. So addressing that trauma, they hope, can be a step to preventing new violence. At Coliseum College Prep Middle School in East Oakland, the students, just 13, 14 years old, are dealing with the death of a local boy who was shot and killed by police. That's why the Crisis Network's Eric Butler is meeting with groups of kids today, kids suffering from that loss or someone else's death.
And I want y'all to get a chance to get things off your chest.
These kids seem impossibly young to be here for this tragic reason. Some speak of brutal murders.
They shanked him 13 times.
One boy, small for his age, speaks in a controlled voice about his cousin, stabbed to death with a makeshift knife in prison. As the circle continues, another boy talks about his uncle, who bragged about killing someone and is now in prison, a fate the boy says his uncle seemed to seek out. He also talks about other relatives who've been killed and his baby brother who recently died in his crib.
Losing my baby brother, two uncles, was like a shock. It was just like a reality check.
Eric Butler listens and promises to keep coming back to listen more. The hope, Millie Burns, who runs the Crisis Response Network, says, is to help kids develop a new perspective on death and life.
These young people, to an extent, have had to deaden their emotions, their reactions to death. It's too common. It's too everyday. And we have to interfere with that. We must intervene.
And that means, Burns says, treating their grief with respect, regardless of who the murder victim was and whether they may have been involved in bad things. And with enough of this work, Burns hopes, it may become less likely that a group of kids will be sitting in a circle mourning another death. For NPR News, I'm Judy Campbell in San Francisco.